Gnats. A May evening, and the sun squats motionless above these stately roofs. Two women sit in front of their little house, one on the humble stoop, the other on a chair on the lawn. They are reading. Both books are thick. Textbooks? After all, we are blocks from the university. And yet the two women read gently, almost lazily. There is no doom in the Midwest tonight, only rows and rows of words. Small hands turn pages without haste. One of the women on the lawn has red hair, the other has on some sort of bonnet. The city of trees is at peace. The gnats roam down the sidewalk in waves.
There's more, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, is there more?
You hate it.
I like it.
What do you mean by more?
Isn't something supposed to happen? Is it a poem?
You think something has to happen?
Is that so terrible?
Requiring something to happen is tantamount to literary tyranny. Think of all the people who nothing ever happens to. How could we ever do them justice on the page if we're always giving their lives some kind of arbitrary action? Some people just read in the yard while sitting in a chair.
Their entire life?
Yes. Cat took another look, holding the paper above her head and mouthing the words as she read. They were in her attic, in her house of windows. Popper watched them both in the multiple reflections, two people on a bed, in the light, one lying on her back reading a single typed piece of paper, the other sitting up and watching the one read. If she could read his mind at this moment, which she could have done if she wasn't reading his story, she would have said, "Popper, you watching yourself watching me isn't watching me, it's watching you. I'm only incidental to the process. The reader is ornament. The real star is you."
"I got an idea," Cat said. "What about if before these two started reading, they ate some shrooms? That way nothing would have to happen, but they'd think something did. Let them hallucinate a little. This is how all the people you were talking about get through their lives. They do a little drugs, they dream, or they watch TV or go snowmobiling, which is awesome, by the way. Snowmobiling is the greatest thing ever invented, and don't let any pansy tell you. Or they..."
"What do you think of the gnats?"
"The gnats I like."
"Cat?"
"Yeah?"
"I love you."
"You what?"
The kitchen chair. Her room had three kitchen chairs and no kitchen table. They were arranged around the idea of a table. She said, "Who needs a table when you've got three chairs?" She sat on one of them with her feet on a second, being his model. For this portrait, he don't need no easel. Give this man a pen and paper, and he'll create fission with words. Christ, if he even had a modicum of talent, he should at least be able to describe her face.
"Hurry up, Popper. I've got class. We're doing Hegel today. I am who I am, not because I am I at the moment, but because of who I will become, which is unknown. Thus, I am my future self. Who knows who this is? And yet at the same time, that self exists. It's only time that's in the way, and since time itself is nothing, meaning from the point of view of our perception of it, not in the Newtonian sense, then we're our future selves right now. We just don't know who the hell we are. Isn't that awesome?"
"Turn your head a little."
"I'm unknowable. Why even bother? Don't write about my double chin."
"You don't have one."
"Good. Or my weird tooth."
"What weird tooth?"
"Excellent. You make a fine painter in prose."
"Where were you last night?"
"What?"
"I came by around 11.
"You want to know where I was?"
"What's wrong with that?"
"You're talking like I have to tell you."
"Stop moving your eyes. Your face keeps changing."
"I'm late to class."
"You're right. I have no right. No right at all to monitor."
"I slept in the anti-apartheid shanty."
"In the middle of the dyak?
"With who?" "With other people who think apartheid is a scourge on the face of the earth. Hugh, Paul, some girl named Polly."
"You think I don't think apartheid's a scourge on the face of the earth?"
"I really don't know what you think about apartheid."
"I think apartheid is very bad.
Does this mean you have to sleep with Hugh and Polly?
Listen, Popper, I got to get to class.
For a long time after she left, he stared at her empty chair. Torn vinyl, light blue, little rubber feet on all four legs. A sad little chair, empty of her body. Maybe it's only in absence that we can get at it. Someone is gone, either to class or clear out of your life. Then fragments of a face emerge in a cold, still kitchen, like a haunt. Joyce says absence is the highest form of presence. A small boned face, high cheekbones, hidden ears, only the tops of which poked out from her brown-yellow hair, a chipped front tooth, a day camp accident involving a picnic table, slight upcurving nose, red from allergies, roaming coffee eyes. She won't come together, her face, with her hair falling all over it.